I'll call the December 7th meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. I believe it's Delaware Day, is that correct, Mr. Moore? Happy Delaware Day. We'll begin with the approval of the amendments. Mr. Baker, do you have anything?
Yes, we do have one suggested change. Under executive session, we do not have any items for land acquisition or litigation.
I think I may have potential litigation item, if we could leave that one off.
Okay.
So we are deleting land acquisition. Don't have any land to buy or easements to pay for. Anything else from council? Entertain a motion to approve the amended agenda, second please. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
In your packets were the November 16th meeting minutes. Were there any changes? If not, we'll consider them approved. Mr. Moore, reading of correspondence?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There are three items. The first is to Sussex County Council members. I cannot thank you all enough for such a quick and wonderful grant that you gave to Lewis Aid. There will be many grateful people this winter in the Lewis area because of your generosity. All the volunteers, thank you also. Thanks again. Gene Van Pelt, Lewis, Delaware. The second one is from BB Medical Foundation to the Honorable Joan R. Deaver. Dear Honorable Deaver, thank you so much for participating in the 23rd annual BB Ball. With your help, we were able to raise support for obesity prevention programs at BB Medical Center. BB Medical Center is addressing this major health concern that is a contributing factor to many chronic diseases. We are grateful to each of the sponsors, attendees, table decorators, businesses, and individuals who donated items for the auction, and generous and lucky bidders who took home an item for the auction. The amazing Parisian decorations from the volunteer-made Arc de Triomphe and the storefront canopies to the beautiful table decorations, fantastic food, and the wonderful performances made the evening a truly extraordinary event. Thank you again for all your help, signed by Dennis Chupella, Rob Boyd, and Lisa Berlin. The last letter is from the American Diabetes Association to Sussex County Council on behalf of the entire American Diabetes Association. I want to thank you for your continued support of our sugar-free weekend retreat. This year, we had 115 people attending this heartwarming event. Friendships are forged and memories began at these weekends. The days are full of classes for parents and children alike, and then there are great exercise experiences. As you know, exercise is essential for people with diabetes. Again, a sincere thank you for all you do. Signed by Prudence Vipiana, Executive Director, American Diabetes Association, and I apologize if I hatcheted the name.
Any correspondence from council? Now, turn the meeting over to Mr. Baker.
Good morning. The first item on the agenda is the election contest results, and it is a pleasure today to announce the winners of the county's election contest for 2010. And as you're aware, Sussex students 18 years of old and younger were eligible to participate in this contest, which predicted each of the 22 election races. The top winner will receive a $200 college scholarship. The next five runner-ups will each receive a $100 college scholarship. The county council contributed $500, and then the firm of Moore and Rutt, Mr. Moore's firm, also contributed $200 towards the scholarships. This year, there were 477 entries, which was the second highest total in the 10-year history. This program was actually initiated by Mr. Phillips. The goal was to involve young people in a democratic process and prepare students for their civic duty to vote. And we are honored today to have, I believe, each of the winners here today. And I'll just give you a little background. The overall first place winner was Jordan Tonelli, who is a seventh grader at Laurel Middle School, and they predicted 21 out of the 22 races, so almost perfect. The first runner-up was Madison Hill, seventh grader at Delmar Middle School, who predicted 20 of 22. The second runner-up is Rebecca Geyer, a senior at Milford High School, 19 of 22, followed by Easton Ball, fifth grader at Milton Elementary, 19 of 22 races. Kevin Vandiar, a eighth grader at Laurel Middle, 19 of 22, and Jake Jones, a senior at Sussex Tech, who predicted 18 of 22. So if they would each like to come up, and we have plaques for each of the winners.
Hey guys, I'm going to lining up over by the podium. Who is the winner?
Who are
you? Here we go. 22. Awesome. Why don't you come up to the microphone?
You got a future ahead of you, honey.
Your name is
Jordan.
Jordan, and you picked 21 of the 22.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Was it hard?
No.
Was
How
did
you
get?
Pretty obvious. I think it was Andrew George.
What's your secret? I wonder how. What did you do Did you have a plan, or did you just kind of?
You got a crystal ball, right?
Just guessed.
Just guessed.
That's
what a lot of people do when they go to vote.
That's what we do every day, honey. You're doing good.
Good job. Got a crystal ball? I bet.
Jordan, what is it, Tonello? Very good. Jordan, congratulations. I'm going to ask you to turn around for the camera. And remember this moment when you're running for office.
And where's Jordan from, Mom?
And right over there. We'll go ahead and get a group here in a minute. Madison, you were the first runner-up. Awesome. Your winning entry. Why don't you get right over here? We'll take an individual picture. And Rebecca.
Where's Madison from?
Rebecca, the second.
But where's Madison from?
Congratulations so much.
Madison,
over here.
I don't know where she's from.
And you had 20 or 19?
19.
19. Awesome. Very good. Thank you. And Easton. Easton. Congratulations, Easton. You had 19 as well?
Mm-hmm.
I think the tiebreaker was to guess the number of votes in the U.S. Senate race, wasn't it? There you go, Easton. Hold that. Good job. Kevin. Good job, Kevin. You also predicted 19, I believe. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the tiebreaker put you as, I believe, fourth runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Finally, Jake. All this fun of the bunch, Jake. Way to hang in there.
A lot of young competition. At the younger degree. Yeah.
Now, why don't we all line up right across the front? Come on over, Easton. Jordan.
If you can be on the side, Kevin, can you come in?
You know, it'd be interesting.
I tell you, it was Andrew George.
Huh?
It was Andrew George.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest prize.
Hey, Vance.
Mr. Guy, are these pictures going to be on the website?
Yes, we will have them on our Facebook page today.
I have a Facebook, and there you go.
And on the website, yes.
I see many anxious parents. That way they can go on the site and see the pictures.
Sam's going to be calling him for his next election.
All right.
For their prediction.
Well, I'm wondering, George, which one they picked that didn't win, that they think when they lost.
George thinks Vance's race, I say.
Yeah, I'm going to walk that.
Couldn't have been me.
That's what I was wondering.
Not yours for sure.
Mr. Baker?
Just for your information, our website is www.sussexcountyde.gov, and the pictures will be on our website. The next item is airport runway update, and we'd like to review the current status of the county airport main runway project. I think in your packet there was information and a schedule regarding the main runway, and as you're aware, we are working on the 500-foot extension. The estimated net additional cost of extending the 500-feet extension of the main runway is about $9.2 million. That includes $4.4 million for the runway itself, overlay of the existing 5,000-foot runway to match up with a new portion of the runway, $2 million, and additional cost for land acquisition, obstruction removal, wetland mitigation. These costs are eligible for FAA grant funding, and however, FAA typically funds about $5 million a year at maximum for these types of projects. Environmental assessment is underway, as you're well aware. That should be done by August 2011, and then the design for the extension would begin, and construction should be complete by the spring of 2013. The 1,000-foot option, as you can see, the net additional cost is estimated to be about $22.2 million. And as you can see, again, the costs are listed. The runway extension itself, $7 million. Overlay, the existing runway, $2 million. Land acquisition, obstruction removal, wetland mitigation are all included. One of the major differences here is the Park Avenue realignment of Park Avenue to match up with Arrow Safety Road. That would be probably about $5.3 million is the estimated cost to do that, including design. As you can see from the report, the county has spent to date about $3.3 million for land purchases associated with extending the runway primarily to 1,000, with a goal primarily to 1,000 feet. That funding, it is our understanding, may be eligible for FAA reimbursement in the future if the funds become available. In terms of how we are approaching this, at the current time, we are looking at a phased approach. We would complete the 500-foot extension, take advantage of the FAA funding. This would enable additional flights to come here, and hopefully that will help us satisfy the FAA requirements for the 1,000-foot extension, and it may assist us in attracting other business to the airport. Thereafter, we would complete the additional 500-feet extension, which PATS has indicated in their long-term plan is what they need for Boeing 757-type airplanes. This will attract additional flights by going to a 1,000-foot extension, would assist in attracting other business to the airport. One of the items that we are investigating is possible other funding options, like, for instance, is there a way to fund that road separately? We have two meetings scheduled this week, one with federal and one with state officials, to discuss funding options and see if there's other ways to try to handle this so that we could move forward with 1,000-foot in a little quicker time frame. So this wasn't really for action, but it was mainly just to provide a report to the county council of where we're at. And Mr. Hicken, the airport manager, is here today also, if there are any questions.
So officially, where are we on our position? We're just doing the 500 feet.
We're working on the 500 foot.
That's it. Right. We haven't made any decisions to go beyond that at this point, right?
Well, no, we haven't. Now, we have, I mean, our goal has been a 1,000-foot extension, and we have purchased land, as you can see from the report, but we have not moved forward to for the 1,000-foot extension in terms of...
So the the on that second sheet there, estimates at $9
million? Yes.
Dollars. That's the total cost of the 500 feet?
That's the total cost of 500 feet.
Okay. That's not just what we've spent to date. That's the total. That'll be the total cost.
That's the total cost. That's the total versus, net additional cost.
Versus another 1,000 feet is going to be $22 million total?
So basically an additional $13 million to go to 1,000 feet versus 500 feet.
All right. It's just interesting how the first 500 feet is only 9, then it gets to another 500 feet. It's 13.
Well, the road. The road, yeah.
$5 million on that road.
I understand. Okay. So right now we've just committed to the 500 feet. Okay.
Yes.
Is the council have any interest in pursuing the runway extension independent of the FAA funding? It does appear that the FAA is not very anxious in completing this project or even approving this project, correct?
Well, they seem, at this point, they seem on board with the 500 feet, but not for the 1,000.
And that's even questionable.
The number of...
The 500 feet's questionable in total on the funding we've been expecting or what we've been getting in the past, right?
Well, it's not a done deal. That's
not
true.
A done deal. Okay.
It is. The indications, and Mr. Hicken, correct me if I'm wrong, are that the FAA is they have encouraged us to pursue the 500-foot option, and they've indicated that they think that the funding will be available in the near future for the 500 feet.
Have we been getting reimbursed for some of the money that we've put out so far? Didn't I hear you say we're over? Excuse me, please. Come. Didn't I understand you say $3 million or so has already been spent?
Yes, $3 million, but if on the report, roughly $300,000 is for land purchases related to the 500 feet, and $3 million is related to the purchase that are for the 1,000 feet. So they...
They reimbursed us for the 300, for instance.
They would reimburse us for the 300 at some point in the project.
We have not justified a need for the 1,000 foot. So, you know, any money that goes with that project, we haven't qualified for yet. Some of that land that we purchased for the 1,000 foot also meets our needs for the 500 feet, and we have not put in a grant request for that yet. But that part of it is grant eligible, and we're working on all the financing to keep the project moving and not wanting to take that money away from, you know, our environmental assessment funds that are available or some of the other things that need to happen to keep the project moving. But the FAA is as committed as they can be right now to 500 feet. You know, we've justified a need for the 500 feet, and they're happy with that. Right now we're doing the environmental assessment. You know, and until that's signed off and, you know, we say there's no significant impact, they're not going to commit to construction. But, you know, the process is moving along. So we're, like I said, they're as committed as they can be.
Mr. Cole, you have more experience than anyone here. Is there any wisdom at all in the airport? Is there any wisdom at all in us moving forward independent of the FAA on the 1,000 feet?
Well, okay, my 2 cents worth would be this. As we sat here, as we've been here over the years, it's easy to support projects as long as we were getting 90% funding. Mm-hmm. Now, this is kind of a game changer if we've got to ask the tax base of Sussex County to support this airport. Very few people in the county use the airport. I know it's a nice feather in our cap when we're trying to promote Sussex County. I said, but there's the impact really is probably the number of people use it is small. And so I would say we do this and finish up on what we got. The federal government's run out of money. State's out of money. It's a tough time for us to jump into a $22 million project and have to look for other sources of funding, maybe local funding. And I just don't think there's going to be the support for that. But as long as we're getting 90% funding, you know, it's I guess we're like everybody else. We will take it, and it's been an improvement. It's helped us. And but at this point on, I'd be really – it'd be a tough decision for me to look to local funding or float a bond and put it on, you know, on the tax base for 20 years, 30 years, or anything like this at this point. I think we have other priorities. So
the other council members have opinions?
I tend to agree with Councilman Cole. I think the idea that the federal government funding 9% is a good thing for us. The 500 feet's a good thing. We justify that. We can use that. To go the additional 500 feet and to fund that on our own, I think we had a discussion like that's like a we'd have to pay about $1 million a year on a loan or a bond, and that'd be out of taxpayers.
And with transfer taxes down, Mike, like they are.
We had a tough time, as you know, making the budget work without raising taxes or laying off employees or doing whatever. We've worked very hard at that. Everybody has. And I think that's a good thing. But there's no way in the world in this economic times, I think you can go back to the taxpayers' account and say, we want to add a 500 runway that maybe will bring more jobs, we would hope. But the fact that we're going to need $1 million out of your pocket every year for the next...
And sometimes corporate decisions like what Pats are making today, I mean, they've been... The ownership's changed hands, right, since they've been there. Ownership could change again, and there'd be a whole other game plan with Pats, whatever. So, I think it's probably a point where we might want to just sit back and get done the projects we have.
Okay. Any other comments from council?
I agree that maybe we should get this done first and see where we go from there.
Yeah.
See what the need is. Mm-hmm. If there's a need, then we'll work on it.
Right.
Seems to be the consensus. Thank you, Mr. Hickman. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you. The next item is the administrator's report. The first item is Habitat for Humanity. County employees will be participating again to assist Habitat for Humanity with work on two homes in Frankfort and Laurel. They will be assisting on Saturday, December 11th. We wish to thank them in advance for their voluntary efforts to help fellow Sussex Countyans. Business tax climate in Delaware. Per the Tax Foundation in Washington, D.C., Delaware again ranks eighth best in the country in terms of business tax climate. We believe that low property taxes, especially evident in our county, are one of the reasons that keeps Delaware in the top 10 locations. And information is available at the website, as noted in the report. Jim Hicken, accredited airport executive. We are pleased to announce that Mr. Jim Hicken has been approved as an accredited airport executive. Hey. This recognition of airport executives includes passing an exam and a thorough interview process, covers aspects of airport management, including planning, finance, construction, operations, maintenance, security, environmental, and air service development. We wish to congratulate Mr. Hicken on this achievement, reflecting his desire to improve his skills.
Thank you. Very good.
Caroline on the Circle food drive. We are pleased to announce that the Caroline on the Circle program was a success. At this point in time, we have collected 19,303 food items as a result of the food drive associated with this annual program. We collected over 600 items last night as part of the caroling program. We will continue to collect food throughout the month of December, and we wish to thank all of the participants and volunteers who helped put together the 27th annual Caroling on the Circle program, and we have a press release attached. Annual December 10th annual employee luncheon, as per the attached news advisory, county offices will close from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on December 10th to allow our employees to attend the annual Mildred King Luncheon. The offices will reopen at 1 p.m. A temporary closure enables employees to assemble for a holiday luncheon that also includes honoring the Employee of the Year and recognizing employees for their service to the county. Animal control activity update attached are summary reports from Delaware Animal Care and Control for the fiscal year. For this fiscal year, from July 1st through November 30, during this five-month time period, 3,162 calls and call follow-ups were handled in the county per Director Murray Goldwith. Details are provided to explain the reasons for the calls. Dog licenses, as per the attached brochure, dog licenses are now available for 2011 at the same rate of $10 per dog for spayed and neutered dogs and $15 per year for non-spayed and neutered dogs.
Very nice.
Licenses can be obtained via the attached application form by mail, via the county's website, or in person at the dog licensing offices in the county admin building, and the telephone number is noted. And also, just a little belated note, Mr. Cole's celebrated a birthday about a week ago.
But you're going to do some of that, my dog.
That doesn't have a license?
I finally got a license.
I think you should sing to him, because I got that.
No.
Probably even made a bill to find a pay.
It would be like a dog bite having you all sing.
Oh, it would be.
Okay.
Uh-huh. No, thank you for acknowledging. I've tried to ignore it.
The big 6-0?
Not this place. Can't ignore birthdays.
Yeah, it's an ugly number.
Hey, you are old.
Never thought I'd get that old. Oh, what are you saying?
I just said you're old.
I know. I feel old.
Anything else, Mr. Baker?
No.
Okay. There is one gentleman that I believe is appropriate that we could introduce at this point in time as part of the administrator's report. Would you like to come up from the Woodworkers Association? They mentioned that they received some money from the council and wanted to thank the administrator. He does have to leave, but thank you very much.
Thank you. As Carson, I'm Carson Morrison of the Mason-Dixon Woodworkers. We meet in Del Mar. We make 1,200 to 1,300 toys, wooden toys each year that we then pass out to 20, 25 different charities, and they distribute them to disadvantaged children of families that they support. And so I would like to present this handmade wooden toy to the county council for their support in our outreach that we're able to make into the disadvantaged children of Sussex County.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Give it to me. I'll come back and get a picture. I'm sure she wants it on Facebook.
Chip got his camera. Look at him. He's Facebooking right now.
He's still Facebooking.
Chip's a multitasker. he can take pictures, Facebook, Twitter, all that's all one time.
He's in my district, but I...
Oh, wait a minute. Let Sam get down here. Let Sam get down here.
It's funny.
What up, Sam? Sam, bring the camera?
Yeah.
I guess I should leave.
About 1,200.
And, so. 1, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I made about 1,200 of these.
Thank you very much for what you all do.
Thank you for doing it.
Thank you, Mr. Baker, for that report.
Thank you.
Nothing else for the administrator. We'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Webb, our finance director.
Thank you. We have a lot to cover today concerning pensions, so I've tried to organize it to be clear and concise. It's that time again to look at our pension and our OPEB funds. Our OPEB is our other post-employment benefit plan. The pension committee has been working on this, and we have recommendations for county council today to consider. The minutes that you received in your packet give you a good idea of what went on at the pension committee and what our ideas are and what we're planning on recommending today. And also, Mr. Schoen from Pierce Park Group, our pension investment consultants, here today to do our annual review and speak about our OPEB investment manager search and the decisions we're making for that. So we'll start with the pension fund, the regular pension fund, talk about our investments and the year end, and then I'll make a recommendation for our annual contribution, and that's all we have to do with our pension fund. Just a note, the pension fund as of January 10 was 91.7% funded. Our actuary report will be done again this December 10. So I'd like to introduce Mr. Schoen to come up and speak about our pension fund. You did receive the investment performance report. It looks like this. Thank you.
Good morning. I wish I had, I think it was Jordan working for us with her ability to prognosticate. We sure could use her in our organization. 21 out of 22 is pretty amazing.
Pretty good.
Yes.
She came to me for the information. Though.
But you heard she said she guessed. So I'm hoping a lot of our experts aren't guessing on all this.
Yeah. Well, if I could guess that well, I'll be okay with that. I'm sure it was an educated guess that she used. Yeah. Okay.
5%.
Yeah, so no crystal balls today, okay? What we're going to start with is the performance report on the pension fund. And what I've heard.
Document you want us to have? Which one?
Right here.
Bound report.
Okay.
Got the seal in the middle. It says investment performance report as of September 30th.
Okay.
And I've always heard. Give everybody the three B's: be bold, be brief, and be gone. So I will be right on it. What, roughly how much time would you like me to spend on this?
About 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
No.
Okay. I just want to get some idea.
To get the point across.
Okay.
The agenda is not that packed that you can take your time. Make sure we understand it. That's
sure.
George's pension is well vested.
Okay. And first observation, 91%. Actually give you a little background. We consulted 23 firms and roughly three-quarters of them, 23 clients, and three-quarters of them are public funds, counties and cities, municipalities throughout Delaware, Pennsylvania, and actually we just picked up a client in Maryland. I can tell you 91% funded. Everybody would love to be anywhere close to that.
That's very good.
So I can tell you that's exceedingly good. Most of the county plans I see are more in the low 80s, mid 70s, you know, percent. So you've done a very good job of, you know, taking care of the funding, the liability. A little bit of overview. You look under market review, and I'll speak carefully about the economy. But the economy, we had the worst economic downturn since the Depression. Everybody's going to a great recession, and we were very close to a depression. I think everybody should keep that in mind. The economy seems to be turning around a little bit right now. I'm not going to go out on the limb and make a prognostication as to how fast it will turn around, how soon and how much. But it seems to be turning around some, and that is, I believe, reflected somewhat in the stock market that has improved dramatically over 2008. 2008, we had the worst downturn in the stock market since 1931, and this past decade, was worse stock market returns than even the 1930s. So to be as well-funded as you are, I think, speaks about the foresight that you had ahead of time to address these issues. When we get to OPEB, you're even further ahead than the rest of the world and the rest of the country by a long shot, so I'll hit that when I get to that. Stock market, as you know, in 2008 was down, you know, about 37%. U.S. international was down about 42%. First quarter 2009, the stock market was down again dramatically, but rallied back substantially during the rest of 2009, so that for the year, the stock market was up over 20%. When I speak of the stock market, that's the whole U.S. stock market. Okay. This year, the stock market was up first quarter, down strongly second quarter, up strongly third quarter, and is up again fourth quarter, or not as strong as third quarter. So the stock market, which looked like it was going to have negative returns for the year, is actually almost double digit, might even be double digit at this point, close to that. International stocks, which underperformed the U.S. during the downturn of 2008, outperformed substantially in 2009. The U.S. did better in the first half of this year. International has been doing better the second half. It is a reflection of what happens with the dollar. When the dollar is stronger, as it was in the first half of this year, investing in the U.S. is better. The dollar has depreciated, although come back a little bit the last couple of weeks, but depreciated substantially in the third quarter. International was the favorite over that time period. I think the big issue is what might we look for going forward? And again, I'm not as good at Jordan, whether that was an educated guess, but her crystal ball is much better than any economist. However, having said that, interest rates are exceedingly low right now. That has helped the performance of your fund because as interest rates come down, bond values go up. So you've had very good returns on your bonds, which has helped somewhat offset what's happened on the stock side. However, if interest rates on treasuries are below 3%, and corporates are roughly 3.25% to 4%, depending upon the credit quality and the maturity of those, the longer the maturity, the higher the interest rate. If you blend the two of those together, then you have a portfolio whose yields, you know, interest rates on the bonds are going to be 3.25%. Well, if you have a bond just that's got a 10-year bond that's got an interest rate of 3.25%, you hold it for 10 years, what are you going to get? 3.25%. Long-term, actuaries assume 5 to 5.25% on bonds, and that's how they get to this assumption of 8%. Okay, when an actuary calculates how much you have to put in each year, they figure out how much you have in assets, how much you have in liabilities, then how much you have to put in each year so that you fund those liabilities. And they have to make their best estimate as to what long-term returns are. They use 8% for you. I see some plans out there as high as 8.5. I see a lot of them at 8, and I see a lot of them at 7.5. Okay? If long-term stocks are going to do 10 to 10.5% and bonds are going to do 3 to 3.5%, does that get you to 8%? Mm-hmm. Good. Probably not. So just something to keep in mind. I wasn't brought here today to necessarily talk about this, but it's something I think it's very important that you need to keep that in mind, that it's going to be tough to meet that 8% assumption, not necessarily because of the stock side this time, but because of the bond side. And if interest rates go up, and I will go out on the limb a little bit to say that over the next 10 years, I think it's more likely interest rates will go up than go down. Okay, that's probably not a jumping out on a limb too far. If interest rates go up, what happens to the bond values? They go down. So the returns on your bonds may be less than 3% for the next 5 to 10 years. Then where does it put you and everybody else? Now, in that you're so well funded, you won't be as badly hurt as others, but it makes it very difficult to get to that 8% unless you either, you know, continue to do very well on the stock market side or increase what your percentage you have in stocks. But you're a conservative group. You know, most of my clients are. I'd say you're a little bit more conservative than our average client. So you lean to being more protective in the down market. That helped you in 2008. I'll show you that in a minute. That helped you substantially in 2008. Even though you were down less than most plants. Okay, that's hurt you relative to a peer group over the last year. Because if the market's paying to be more aggressive, as it was in 2009, in this past quarter, okay, and you're more conservative than the average, then you would lag some. Okay, so now you're really sort of in a tough spot. As a lot of my clients have, well, you don't want to be more aggressive in your investing, but how do you make up for that difference? I don't have a magic answer here for you, but I want to lay out to you what some of the issues are going to be, over, I think, over the next 5 to 10 years. How's that for a start? If you go on to the tab that says total fund, you know, hopefully you've had a chance to look at actual returns, but you can see the returns over the last, well, let me just go to page 2 under that first tab of market review. You can see for the quarter, the S&P 500 was up 11.3%. Year-to-date was 3.9, but since then, the stock market's been up quite a bit also. I don't know off the top of my head, but another 4 to 5 percentage points, and the one-year returns being a little bit over 10%. Okay. Now, go to the next tab that speaks of your total fund. For the quarter, and we do a report for you as of the end of September, okay, for the quarter, you had a return of 7.3%. For the year, 8.6, so that's a little bit above what the actuary had assumed. But the actuary is assuming 8%. You really need to get more like to about almost 8.5 because there's a cost of running your fund. So to get to 8 net, you need to be, you know, close to 8.5 gross. So you're a little bit ahead of that. And to the degree that you do better than what the actuary is assuming, then it helps lower what you have to, it improves the overall funded level of your plan, also helps lower what your contribution have to be. And 5.8% for the past 2 years, which is lower than your actuary assumed, but that's taken into consideration fourth quarter 2008, first quarter 2009. So even with those events, you were reasonably close to getting to that 8%. Okay? And as I mentioned before, that a lot of that was because you defended better in the down market than most plans. Where does it rank you? Well, for the past year, it puts you in the third quartile. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, why third quartile? If everybody else is more aggressive at the time, it's to be more aggressive, then you're going to lag a little bit. But you were above average from the time period the previous year. Your outperformance for the past quarter, let me go back to structure. You have roughly 65, 67% of your money in the state pool. Okay. And I'll explain that in a little bit more detail. And then the rest of the money you have invested in several different mutual funds and with Wilmington Trust as the bond manager. Why have you structured it this way? I'll talk a little bit more about what the state, how the state's configured. And then they more aggressively invest their portfolio than where you want to be. So you have roughly two-thirds of your money there, and then you have the rest of it more conservatively invested to get you at least reasonably close to where you would like to be. Now, page 3, you can see the actual returns. I think has everybody had at least some opportunity to review that before? That way I don't need to read the numbers, and if you have questions about any of the individual managers, I want to talk at the more global level.
We've had it for a couple days.
Pardon me? Okay. So if you go on to page 4, and actually let me go back to that page 3 just for a second. You will see that the state plan for the past quarter was up 8.8, which was more than your total 7.3. So that meant the state did better than the rest of your pieces did. Okay. But from July of 2008 to June 2009, the state did worse than the rest of your pieces did. Why? Because the state is more aggressively invested. So they took a bigger hit on the downside, bigger bounce back on the upside. Okay. And they are in the position to take more volatility and risk than you can, because if things don't pan out for them, what can they do? They have the power of taxation. They have the power of changing their budget. They give out less money if they have to put more money in the state plan. Those a little bit downstream from that, you know, you don't have that same flexibility to take on the same level of risk that they can take. Okay. If you turn to page 5, or actually turn to page 3 for a moment, 4, excuse me, and you'll see it says asset allocation versus target allocations. This is for your total fund. What you do need to know about the state plan is they do invest in hedge funds, they do invest in private equity, they do invest in below investment grade bonds. Okay, that's part of why when things bounce back, they can bounce back better, but they're going to be more aggressively invested than where you, at least what we've heard over the last several years, where you'd like to be as a total entity. Okay. Page 5, you can see the asset allocation mixes, and then the rest of it is, I'll say, numbers. So here's what I would take from that. Your performance is roughly about the middle of the pack. Okay? A little bit below this past year, because I say overall you're a little bit more conservative than the average out there. A little bit above during the downturn of, you know, 2008, first half of 2009. You have two pieces. The state with the plan is more aggressively invested. Everything else you have is more conservatively invested to try to get you to that place where you want to be. At times when it pays to be more aggressive, the state plan will, part of it will do better. When it's more time to be more conservative, the rest of your pieces will do better. Okay. Overall cost structure, your plan, that's the one piece that I think over time we'd like to help you work on. It is higher than our other clients. And I think it's one because the state plan is rather expensive. A lot of it's because of these other alternative investment categories, hedge funds, private equity, and then smaller pieces that you have to go on the outside. So I think that's something to work on over the next couple of years of what can be done to help drive down the overall cost structure. But all, you know, that's how we'd evaluate where you are. Questions?
I did have one bit of additional information in looking through October. The returns were up. So as you can see, one quarter's up, one quarter's down. But our returns have been anywhere between 2.3 up to 3.9 for the month. So the increase in assets was 748,000 just for the month of October, as Mr. Schoen was talking about being in an up quarter. And I do have additional information I'd like to hand out that came late on DuPont Capital. They were underperformer. They were new. We did just open that account in April, which was the worst quarter to start, so they took a drop. But this is their large cap equity. This is their philosophy, and I thought it would be important since it was they had a negative year-to-date return that you read this, and that they were up for October through 3.6% increase.
For everybody's benefit, DuPont Capital, DuPont as a company, they manage, $30, $40 billion pension fund of their own. They have it as a separate division, and then they will manage money for others who would like to use their capabilities. And you have part of your money with them in a domestic, U.S. stock market portfolio. First couple months, they lagged their benchmark. I liken it to you're 5 minutes into the football game, and you're down by a touchdown, okay? Early in the game. Long-term, their numbers have been good.
They've been doing this a long time.
Well, that was one of the tasks at the end of 2009 was to open up the DuPont to get the, we did an RFP for a new fund manager for the regular pension account, and they were the ones selected. Okay. Yes, we did, and we opened that in April.
So overall, they've had a good track record.
They've had a very good track history. It's just any manager, when they get hired, they always like to come out of the blocks strong, and they didn't come out strong. But it's a very strong organization back, at the corporate level.
There's no concern on your part or your part, right?
Watch, of course, like everything else. It was just a tough year to start, I believe.
Sure.
Well, say they didn't come out strong. They actually lost money.
Right. At a time when the markets were down, but they were down more than the markets. So if you go to page 3, they were down 5.2, but the stock market was down 3.1 for that time period. So it doesn't bother me that they were down. Would have I liked them to be, I'll say, down less than what they were? Absolutely. But I liken it to, it's 5 minutes into the game and they're down by a touchdown. They got some back October and November.
They're up.
So if you catch somebody, if you hire somebody right when the market's going down, they're going to be down also.
Sure.
But you just hope they're not down as much as they were. So, yeah.
Are they still down at this point?
Well, right now at October, they're at 4.9 and we put 5 in. So
we're still down a little bit.
We're still down.
Just a little bit.
They've been climbing up. Of course, we will keep both my eyes on it. Yeah. But just wanted to bring it to your attention and give you this extra information.
Okay.
Yeah. If you'd hired them beginning of second quarter of 2009, they absolutely would have been up.
Right.
So it's a little bit just the timing when somebody happens to get funded. Okay. But again, I still would like them to be above their benchmark.
Okay. I just look at Fidelity. They're year-to-date 8.8.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 14% difference between DuPont being down 5.2 and Fidelity being up 8.8.
Two different start dates, though, because DuPont started on April 7th, okay? Fidelity started January 1st. If DuPont had started January 1st, they would have had a positive return. I couldn't tell you what it is off the top of my head, but they would have had a positive return. So they happened to get the money right when the market was going down.
And they are two different diversified stocks. One's a large cap, one's a low priced, which would be part of the diversification theory that they might not often ride together.
That's a good point. Coming out of recession, the smaller and mid-sized companies will tend to do better. They're the ones that are beaten down more during the downturn. They tend to bounce back better on the upturn. Okay. Again, I still don't like that DuPont is 2% below their benchmark. But it's, if this was after 2 or 3 years, we'd be here saying it's time to look for, right, exactly.
Right.
Let's look for a replacement.
Give them the hook.
After 5 months, I think it's not adequate time to evaluate them at this point. I think actually, and a good point was
you.
Vanguard Global, who you first brought in at 2008, they were under their benchmark initially for about six months.
Oh, yeah. They and, dropped like 50.
And this past
right
quarter, they were up 16.2, year-to-date up 6.8. So that's why I say you've got to give somebody adequate time to show whether they can or cannot do that. Should I?
I'm going to do see if there's any other questions on that, because I would like to recommend making the annual contribution, our budgeted contribution, into our Sussex County Pension Trust account, so that's used for monthly reimbursements back to our general fund to fund the pensioner payments. And this will keep the liquidity I need all year to reimburse the general fund, and any balance that is in the fund that is not used at that time, I could invest in staggered CDs. So that's what I'm recommending, and the pension committee is recommending to do with our annual contribution for the pension fund.
And that annual contribution is necessary because we did not reach the benchmark of
8%? We have an annual contribution by the actuary to keep the pension fund healthy, to meet our future needs. You know, the 8% return is their assumption. So we will always have an annual contribution, as it's like a living pension fund.
Even if we exceed the 8% actuary target?
Yes, because we're not 100% funded. And we always will have payments drawn out, because in the last couple of years we've been pulling from the pension fund into the general fund to reimburse, you know, budget constraints. We've looked at it a little bit differently. So as we're drawing, we will have a contribution.
Somewhere in this pile of papers, I thought I read where it's like $1 million discrepancy on what we had invested with the state versus what they said we had.
Well, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. That's the OPEB, yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, if I take that one step further, even if you were fully funded and you made 8%, you still would have a contribution. Because each year, the employees, you know, they'll have one more year of service. Their salary may or may not have gone up. And so the obligation grows. So you have what's known as, if you ever heard the term, normal cost.
Sure.
That's the cost for one more year of service for an employee. So the only time you'd ever get down to zero contribution is if we had the kind of returns we had from like 96 to 99, and you get so overfunded that over-dominates this normal cost. So you should always assume that there's going to be a contribution. It's how much is that contribution going to be?
Well, that's where small governments get into trouble. They decide not to make any contribution for one year for whatever reason, and maybe the next year, and it gets easy to do that. And I think we ought to stay the course. But
you've been doing this every year. I mean, you've been making contributions, have you not? I mean,
yes.
Back whenever. Sure you into.
Yeah. Even when there were, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, David, when it wasn't so well funded and there the county was doing very well, extra contributions were made to help the pension fund at that time.
Probably about 15 years ago, we started with major contributions to the pension fund, and that brought it up because at one time it was severely underfunded, and maybe Mr. Cole remembers.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
The council took the stand that they wouldn't like to make have a major increase in the contributions as per what the actuary recommended. So we've been doing that, and the last year or year and a half, we've been, like we're supposed to, reimbursing the county for the cost of the actual pensioners that we incur. So the county pays the existing pensioners that we have, and then we reimburse from the pension fund, which is what we're supposed to do. And some previous years we didn't do that because we didn't have to do that, and that meant extra money going into the pension fund.
That was actually considered a contribution by not drawing.
Right.
In the good times, you put in more. You could have taken out from the pension fund what you paid for benefits. I can tell you, I see a lot of them in the good times, which is when you can more afford to take care of your obligations. I've seen a number of plans that actually went the other direction. So, I mean, you have been exceedingly fiscally responsible.
Yeah, do anything to do what you want to do.
I do have a motion for the pension contribution. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the annual 2011 pension contribution into the Sussex County Council Pension Trust Fund in the amount of $2,370,522 to be used for monthly reimbursements back to the general fund, and any balance available in that account be invested in staggered CDs.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve. Motion read by Mrs. Webb. Is there any discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. The next order of business onto the OPEB fund is to adopt our investment policy statement, make a recommendation to County Council. Now that the fund is got a very nice, healthy balance, we want to adopt the investment policy statement to follow as recommended by the Pension Committee. This was in your packet. A point is that it is based, like our pension fund investment statement, which we adopted a couple years ago, and it does follow the same allocation mix, with the target being 60% equity or stock and 40% fixed income, with the split of the target of our investments. This is would be our policy to go by, our, you know, on the books, our investment policy statement that we follow, rather than just, you know, willy-nilly doing investments.
And you still have the flexibility of
changing at any time. That's, again, it's just a living thing, too.
Okay.
That's just a target set.
Okay.
And I have a motion for that.
All right.
Please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve and adopt the OPEB Fund Investment Policy Statement.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the statement. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Next order of business is the OPEB new investment manager. I am happy to report on the OPEB fund. As of January 10, the actuary report, it was 71% funded. Last year when we did the OPEB contribution, at the time it was recommended to the Pension Committee to diversify the OPEB fund. It is 100% with the state in the state pool. And there was a couple of reasons for this. The state pool investment for the OPEB is all in a Vanguard index fund. It has very high fees, and again, the theory of all your eggs being in one basket. We do have 64-65% of our pension in the state pool as well, although this is managed differently. The other thing about the state OPEB pool is the state's only 3% funded. In this OPEB, where we're 71, they're looking at it a little bit as a temporary place for their contribution. It's not all as managed and doing their due diligence as the regular pension pooled fund, because it is a huge budget issue for them. Their fund probably is like $10 billion. They need to fund it. So for them, they're just thinking, you know, their contribution is just a temporary type thing, and, you know, hence the index fund, Vanguard. They're not diversified. So we thought this is a time, with it being roughly $22, $23 million, it's time that we look at managers and get this diversified as well. So that's what we did. We contracted with Pierce Park Group, did an RFP for investment managers, got 25 responses. Pierce Park Group did their analysis. We met with David and I, and we did the ranking. We had to cut it down to the top performers and take it to the pension committee. And I think you have that report, which is your manager search. I know this is painful. And I don't know if Mr. Schoen wants to speak to any of the process through the pension committee with the search for these managers and the allocation mix. Or if there's any questions.
No, I'm relying on your expertise.
Well, I mean, I guess the first question would be, you know, we agreed that we should take it from the Vanguard and you know, put it in our own, where we're managing it ourselves with the help of our consultant, mm-hmm. rather than relying on the state to decide whatever. Did you want to speak, David?
Sure. I think with the Vanguard program, it really had limited oversight. They really was not really being actively managed, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Schoen, but, you know, it just we didn't, you know, for this amount of money mm-hmm. that we have invested, we felt that it made sense to go out and do our own analysis instead of relying on the state, which really didn't seem to be putting that much effort into it, quite frankly. So we did, Susie and Mr. Schoen did the RFP, and I don't know, maybe Mr. Schoen would like to explain the results. Would that, I think that might help?
I might as well.
They keep volunteering me to do that. Yeah. I mean, as Susie mentioned, we got responses from, 25 firms, 25. I think, over 30 different products. It was through your RFP process, so it was the analysis was limited to those who responded to the RFP. But what we had suggested that since your mix was going to be really the same type of asset allocation mix that you wanted on your pension, which was 60% stocks, 40% bonds, and of the 60%, it was going to be 48% U.S. stocks, 12% international stocks, to then look and say, okay, how do we want to do that? Noting that you have roughly a little bit over $20 million. So you want good diversification, but you don't want, you know, you didn't want 20 funds in your lineup. So you ended up with picking one large cap value manager, one large cap core meaning, and large cap for everybody's benefit, large company stocks. Core meaning you'll have both growth and value stocks. Okay, one small company manager, two global, meaning they can buy U.S. and non-U.S. stocks. Okay, and then a bond manager. Okay, and from there, collectively help narrow it down to two or three or four in one case choices in each one of those five areas. And from there, then present the information to the pension committee. And they chose, you know, which ones of the respondents they felt best fit the needs of for the plan.
So is this entity going to replace the Delaware pool?
We have There will be six entities that will replace the pool, yes. What I will do is pull the pool and open up. I have it in a motion, but the winners, if you will, of the RFP and the different categories of stock, as we were speaking of, getting a global, large cap, small cap, that kind of thing. So that's diversified based on the returns of those that responded.
Our policy target was 60% equities.
Yes.
What have we been at prior to any of these?
Well, we had no control over. Actually, you got that. I'm sorry, I handed it out.
The state. Right now, you're about there.
Yeah, that's
right now, you're about 60%.
What were we in August? I mean, you're saying it's the state's fault because we had no control over which percentage of the money we gave to them went to equities versus fixed, correct?
No. The state always maintained about the 60-40.
Okay.
As of June, it was within 4 percentage points.
But we were much lower than 60%. For the last several months, or not?
I don't think so.
You mean in the OPEB?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, in the OPEB fund, and we weren't charged to look at where you were over time,
right.
Because we were just brought on to help you with this as of September. But I would suspect you were probably pretty close to 60%.
Yeah, I have 09.
But the state will range a broader range, at least if they deal with this like they do with their pension. Their pension, they sometimes will go as much as 80% in stocks. Other times, they'll go much lower. So, and that's sort of the, as I mentioned a year ago, I think that's, you have some nice advantages of the state, okay, because you're part of a big pool, but then you have to follow how they want their money managed, and that's not always consistent with what you want done.
Right.
But the
now we have control over next year. Somebody under, we don't like their performance. You know, we're not stuck in it. It's not in the state pool. We'll say, okay, let's choose somebody else.
Yeah. And they invested it in the as per your handout, right, Sue? They invested in the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index,
mm-hmm.
Total International
mm-hmm.
Stock Market Index, and the Vanguard Total Bond Market Index, as well as some T-bill, and so. You know, basically, we felt that for the cost incurred, that it made sense for us to do our own analysis and investments, manage it, mm-hmm. Versus to go this route. I think the Vanguard funds had typically have very low fees. However, this really did not seem like a very complicated type of very well analyzed type investment, and maybe they haven't. I'm not sure why they haven't spent more, maybe put more effort into their on this particular fund. But regardless of that, our take on it was that we thought that we could possibly improve upon this by going out with an RFP. Mm-hmm. And then I think Mr. Schoen had brought forth some recommendations to the committee for each aspect of the investment, such as large cap and value and whatnot, that are outlined in the minutes. So I don't know, maybe it would be good just to review each of those, Mr. Schoen, just to explain like large cap.
Sure.
Value, you know, and so on, what the recommendation is.
Sure. And think of that as the asset mix. So it's a process of deciding what your asset mix is. So you start with 60-40. Then where within that asset mix you want to be, and then who manages the money for you. So three steps. So the asset mix is at 60-40, 48% U.S. stocks, 12% international, 40% bonds. But there's periods of times when large company stocks, so when I use the term large cap, that's capitalization, large company stocks do better. There's periods of times when small companies do better, okay? There's periods of times when value stocks do better and times that growth stocks do better. For growth, you know, the large and small is easy to understand. Value and growth is the one I get the questions about a lot. Value stocks are ones, think of them primarily as energy, utility, finance. Okay, they're ones with lower price-to-earnings ratios, meaning the market's not paying up as much as a multiple of the earnings. Okay, on a growth stock, that tend to be the technology stocks, healthcare, okay, those kind of areas. Sometimes the markets do much better there. Other times they do much worse. So we wanted you to be broadly diversified not only between stocks and bonds, but also the types of stocks you have, both U.S. and non-U.S., and then the types of U.S. stocks you have. And that's why breaking it between large value stocks, large core meaning they will buy growth and value, small company stocks, and then global means U.S. and non-U.S. stocks. The manager can go look at the whole world where they want to invest, and that's part of your portfolio also. That part is targeted for 20%. Now you might say, well, why is that 20% and international is 12? Because international stocks will be about 60% of a global manager. So 60% of 20% is 12%. That's how we get there.
I do have the allocation mix in my motion of who we've selected, if you'd like me to proceed that way, or if
maybe
you have a question.
Maybe before you get to the motion, just, well, who are they? Can you say?
Oh, okay, yes. Vanguard Value Index for large cap value, Allianz RCM Discipline Fund for large cap core, Ridgeworth Small Value for small cap core, Dodge & Cox Global Stock Fund for global value, and Harding Loevner Global Equity for global core growth. For the fixed income, the 40% that we like to do in fixed income, the Pension Committee did have a recommendation. However, I would like to defer or delay on that and bring that back in January. As we were talking, the bond mix has kind of changed in the last month. Those RFPs that we received were index funds where they buy and sell the bonds rather than hold them. So we'd like to perhaps come back after I talk with Everett legally to see if maybe we can use one of our other managers, because right now we don't see where our best value or our best return for our fixed income is with the buying and selling as an index fund versus holding them. Okay. So I just wanted to defer on that 40% part and do that in January sometime. Okay. But I am prepared on the other stock right. Equity
is,
value.
Is there any questions about what Ms. Webb has said before she reads the motion? Please.
Okay. Be it moved, Sussex County Council approve the allocation of the OPEB fund as follows. 9% Vanguard Value Index Fund, 15% Allianz RCM Discipline Fund, 15% Ridgewood Small Cap, 8% Dodge & Cox Global Stock Fund, and 13% Harding Loevner Global Equity.
So entertain that motion. Second, please.
Second.
A motion and a second to allocate funds as read by Ms. Webb. Is there any additional discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I have one last thing, and it's just the annual contribution for the OPEB fund, and I'm recommending the same thing, that I will allocate the existing balance of the OPEB, but the contribution I'd like to put into our pension, OPEB pension trust account, and use it as reimbursements coming back to the general fund to pay for the health benefits. That annual contribution, which is budgeted, is $1,396,953. And I have a motion, unless there's any questions.
Please read the motion.
Okay. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the annual 2011 OPEB pension contribution of $1,396,953 into the Sussex County Council OPEB pension trust account to be used for monthly reimbursements back to the general fund, and any balance available in that account be invested in staggered CDs.
Okay. Entertain that motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve as read by Ms. Webb. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
I'm done, and thank you for your patience. I know it was.
I do have
but
one.
It was
wait,
important.
There's one more thing out here.
That's the end of my motions anyway.
Excuse
we can
me.
Have
Mr.
discussion.
Vincent, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm somewhat, I guess, a little confused on one thing. We've gone through this whole process of picking managers, and why are you not prepared today for the 40% side?
Well, we had picked the Federated Bond Index Fund, and after consideration and talking some more and the way that the bond rates have been dropping, we just don't know if we want to put that chunk of money in it right now, and only to have to pull it at a later date, because it would be a sizable amount. It would be 40%, and we're hoping that we've seen returns from like Wilmington Trust had already managed our bond fund, although they did not respond to the RFP, so we're just seeing what our options are. I just didn't want to set up trustee accounts and all that. I just wanted to give it another month. I don't know if David wants to chime in on just the temporary delay.
One of the concerns with our fixed income side is we have sufficient resources where we can buy bonds direct instead of through a bond fund. If you buy through a bond fund, when interest rates go up, which is probably a more likely scenario in the intermediate future, I guess, the value of the bond fund goes down, or the value of the bonds go down. But if you own the bond directly, you have the option of keeping that bond till it matures, and then you don't lose principal.
Sure.
On paper, you might, if you look at it a certain day, you may lose principal, but you're not really losing it unless you cash in that or sell that bond. So that was the concern.
Because that's what the index funds do,
right?
We've
done that with Wilmington Trust, that, you know, instead of buying a bond mutual fund, which is up and down and.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of
buying
trading,
and selling bonds
trading,
regularly.
Yeah. And trading.
We have at least have the option if we own the bond ourselves where we don't, you know, we can hold on to it and ride it out. And then we don't lose principal.
I guess I was just trying to figure out why we didn't just move in that direction anyway. I mean, if that's what you want to do versus wait another 30 days.
But you didn't have a respondent who responded to do it the way that ultimately you decided you want to do it. The respondents all proposed mutual funds.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
there was some issues.
So that's why you have to go back.
The RFP didn't ask that.
Yeah. So now it's
okay.
It's going, and quite frankly, with the size of money you have, like a Federated won't manage a separate account for you of that size. You know, they manage hundreds of billions of dollars.
Sure.
But there's other alternatives you can look at that
okay.
could do that for you, whether you're buying yourself or you have a manager who just does a buy and hold approach
sure.
for you.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
I think it fits back more to your more conservative approach to things.
Was there another point you
Long
wanted
term.
To make?
Two real quick. One is at 71% funded, you are so far ahead of everybody else. It's unbelievable. There are 18 counties in Pennsylvania that have retiree health benefits. Two of those 18 have put money aside. The other 16 haven't even started to fund. And the two that have put money aside, they're one's 5% funded, the other one's 10% funded. As you mentioned, the state's 3% funded, 71% funded. You may be number one in the country in having addressed this issue. So that's the one thing. The second thing, did you want me to make any comments at all about Wilmington Trust? I don't need to, but with them being bought out, what impact that might have from you on the pension side?
Please.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They're being bought out by M&T. You know, that's planned to occur middle of next year. We have several clients that use M&T from the custody side because they are both your managers on your bonds or your pension and also the custodians on your pension side for a couple of your accounts. We've had great success with M&T. Our clients have been very happy. Their pricing has been very good. I think you'll find it very seamless. Whether it's actually custodied out of Wilmington or custodied out of New York, we don't know. They're actually headquartered in Buffalo. Don't know at this point. Don't know who will be your service person. So that's something. Right now, it's all serviced out of Wilmington Trust, out of Wilmington. So it's something to be monitored. But at least our impression is that it was very favorable that it was M&T and not somebody else. I think you'll get the service that you've gotten in the past. On the bond management side, which you have on the pension side and you may have on the OPEB side, you have a very conservative team out of Wilmington that manages that. We don't know what will happen, whether they'll continue to be there, whether they won't be there. It's something that needs to be monitored. But just note that that may necessitate some change and may need to talk to you sooner than a year from now on that issue as that piece plays out.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Did you have anything else? Did you have anything else? Is somebody going to talk about that $1 million discrepancy?
Oh, yeah. What happened was on the state OPEB allocation, that they are managed by Northern Trust, they gave us, they call them units, somebody else's units. Now, we found this during the audit ourselves here when we were tying up our balances and, you know, doing the transactions for the year. And in calling, they were like, oh, yeah. You know, in total, it's the same. It's just that some units came to our account that were somebody else's. There's not many people in their, not many companies in their OPEB fund, I think like four. And it was somebody else's units. So in finding the error, the units went back to the fund that they had just misallocated upon.
So you were given an extra $1 million.
The fact that there's $1 million discrepancy on what, $12 million?
$20 million.
Does this happen often?
No. Well, no, I'm not saying that. Their whole fund that they were managing is $120
million. Yeah.
Ours is $20, $21 million.
Yeah. There's a couple. I think Kent County's in there. You're in there. I think
State's got
some and one others. So, I mean, that's one of the advantages of having your own pool is that you don't have to deal with that issue.
If they can't calculate $1 million increments on what's owed to people, I think it's wise that we're moving away from it. My gosh, that's outrageous. All right. Yeah. I thought I misread something.
I know.
Anything else from council?
Nope.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh,